259. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry.
Said, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we'll do right now. Does anyone have any spoken requests? Who's that? Francis Batten. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's remember Phyllis Coombs. I haven't got a full report on her, but I don't think it's good. God knows all about it.
We should know a little bit more next week. She does have stage 2 cancer. We have to decide exactly what treatments, things that we will start with. She definitely has chemo and radiation to start out with. But that can all change based off the blood work that's coming back. We should know something next week.
Right. Amen. Yeah, I think it's kind of bothering the boys a little bit this time, too. Yeah. Just remember the whole family. And not only that family, but others. All of them that are being deployed. Yeah, let's... Who's that? Chip. Okay. Let's read.
Right. Yes. Amen. Brother Alex, first remember, my voice tonight, or Ripley for that.
Bless you, Mary Jane. Any unspoken by an uplifted hand? Amen. All over the house. God sees every hand. He will hear and answer prayer. Let's each one lead out and run prayer.
Thank you. you know, pretty regular.
Yeah.
Like to be regular, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's, bless you.
That's a burden for me. It's, it's hard.
Yeah.
We don't thank him enough. Take so much for granted. Just like the health and everything, but I said, Lord, I ain't worried about it. It's your problem. You deal with it. By God, he did. He slowed me down. I didn't have sense enough to slow down myself. He slowed me down. I thank God he did. Because you can feel each day and the things. I don't think about it as being serious, but it was serious operations that I had. And I just thank him. But that's not a drop in the bucket what he did on that cross for us.
Right.
And I just pray to you every day. I try to put on the whole armor of God every morning. Ephesians, I think, 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And that's what gets me through the day. Of course, travel back and forth, up and down, around. Do things. Try to be as careful as possible. You got to watch them other folks on the road. But anyway, but Reverend Barton, to tell you this, I love the Lord. I don't thank him enough.
Bless
you. I want y'all to have prayer and family. This little lady right here. I heard a gentleman the other day testify, this is the rock. It's what holds us together.
Amen. And, amen. Praise the
Lord. Most of you know about all of that. You become one. And when one hurts, the other hurts.
Bless you. Bless you.
Ephesians 3:20, that's one of my favorite verses. He's exceedingly abundantly able to do more than we can ask or think. And that's, you know, you've got to have tools to think. And I don't have none right now. But I'll tell you what, he's got it. He knows what we need. He said, I'll be with you, one or two together. I'll be in the midst. And just like coming in this parking lot, I told her, I said, two or three of us is here, but we're two of us right here.
Yep.
So anyway, y'all have ever been in prayer, and I appreciate him. And keep it coming, because I can tell
them. Amen.
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 We're standing, praise the Lord. Bobby?
Woo!
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
I want to thank the Lord for his blessings. As most of you know, Dad had a thought on his finger. And me and Mom were a little concerned about it. He went to the same areas, all of his arthritis. And me and Mom said, thank the Lord. Simple thing. But that was okay. I was glad as all it was.
Yes.
Thank
you. Anyone else?
Everyone stand, turn to page 281, shake hands with your neighbor. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling.
Our own way.
I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm here anyway. It keeps getting better. I thought that he's good to me. I could go on all night. I'd never get a cold. But I love you, and I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yes.
Y'all pray.
Bless you.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Someone else.
Charlie, I'm glad for the desire.
Bless you, Tim.
Bless you, Tim.
I get confused sometimes. I get confused sometimes that don't really have any desire to come out to church. And that old devil, he jumps in there and he starts whispering in your ear, you know. And it bumfuzzles me just a little bit. But I'm glad for the desire. I'm glad, you know, maybe some people are strong enough Christians, they just don't need to come out. I don't know. That's between them and the Lord, and that's where I need to lead them. And the devil, he don't want me to lead there. He wants me to, you know, have thoughts that ain't none of my business. So I need to back away from all that, and I need to just leave that all in the Lord's hands.
Right.
I feel like there's something going on. Jim and Aaron, I just need to pray about it.
Yeah.
But I need to go and leave it at the Lord's feet. Because only He can do these things. But I'm glad I have the desire to come out. I just enjoy it. I don't know how people get through. It fills me up.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better. I don't want to be just a giddy and just slide through the door. Human beings are about bare minimums and checklists. What's it actually going to take to just get it done? What is the bare minimum I need to do? I don't want to be that. I really don't. Because I see that there's so many blessings that you miss out on. You just miss out on so much. But I'm glad He gives me the desire. I don't know why I said all that, because it didn't even make sense to me. But anyway, I'm glad that the Lord gives me the desire to come out. Y'all pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Bless you, Barry.
Bless you, Barry.
Bless you, Barry.
How are you going to glorify the Lord if you don't come here?
Yeah.
And if you're physically able, you should.
Yeah.
You say, well, I don't matter. Well, you matter to Jesus because He died on the cross.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was always taught after I was saved to take three to try. And I remember when we first started going to the previous church service, an elderly lady used to come every Sunday morning. She sat on the front row. She never said anything, never bothered anybody. She just came in, sat down. When the service was over, she left. And somebody went to her one time and asked her, and she told them that she couldn't hear. She couldn't hear a thing. She said, the reason I'm here is I want everybody to know whose side I'm on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She knew she was on her way to heaven.
Yeah.
And she knew that she was supposed to be in church and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And she was there, and I don't know if she could read the left your walk, but at least you were still in walk with God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Anyone else?
Mrs.
Judy. Amen.
I can't imagine people not believing in the Holy Spirit. He's with us here, and as much as we all let him, he will lead us.
Right.
This morning I was sitting eating my breakfast, and I heard the last few minutes of this particular preacher on TV before I was waiting for my baby boy to come on. And this gentleman, I had never really listened to him, and I didn't want to mention his denomination, but what he was saying is that only for the apostles and for them to get the word out. And the only thing we were to lean on was the scriptures, and that's it. And I thought, well, he must have tore out a few pages of his Bible.
Yeah.
But it just amazed me that he was on TV leading a lot of people astray.
Right.
And, man, we need to be getting the word out.
Yeah.
That we have God's in control, and that we have that comforter and that leader that can guide us and make decisions. I'll bet you if I ask the audience, anybody in the audience, probably every hand would go up, who experienced the Holy Spirit, tell them to avoid going here, or stop there, or go speak to so-and-so, or do this favor for this person. On and on and
on.
These little things, we feel the Holy Spirit in us, moving us to do things. Is that guy, is he blind? Does he not feel these things? What God has done in bringing us the comforter. I'm thankful that we serve a God that loves us enough to walk daily with us and with us. I'm just praying.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Hard to believe that that kind of doctrine is out there. But it is. It is. I just wonder about people like that, and maybe I think the wrong thing. Maybe I think they need to get saved.
Yeah.
And experience the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then they wouldn't deny. If they deny the Holy Spirit, I don't think there's a whole lot of hope.
Without the Spirit,
none of He is. Right, so.
It's not really hard to believe that it's not after God, because it says in the Bible that it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to
jump in that, Johnny, because I've already tasted it.
Amen. Right. Anyone else?
Dr. Dad, I just want to thank the Lord.
Bless you, Pam.
Protecting my family. And as some of you know, they've had some serious storms. And they've been down there now where they live, or out there, it's the Midwest, for 7 years. And it's tornado country. Of course, when these things happen and they lose all power and everything, I don't know anything about it because they can't tell me. So it's not like I can pray extra, but every time that I, hear, we had to go, they have a space, a certain space they have to go to and all this, and it hurts, even though it's over and I know they're okay, but I just want to thank God. I do not want to neglect, but thank God that this happens to them at least once a year, and every time for 7 years.
Amen.
And they have property damage and hardships and all that, but they have never been injured in any kind of way. And I do not take that for granted. I want to thank you.
Amen. 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 That song that Randy just sang there, people are looking for a home here. They depend on that. But they're building their hope on something that flames defy or waves overflow. We've seen a lot of that. The people that live along the coast or along rivers, they're flooded. And California and Florida and some of these other states are having wildfires and just burning hundreds of homes. You can't base your life on something temporal. When you put your trust and your faith in something temporal, it's going to disappear. It could vanish at any time. Our hope needs to be on things
eternal.
Things that are not seen. You can't see the Holy Spirit, Judy. You can't see that. But we know He is here. He dwells within the believer's heart. He will lead you and guide you and direct you in all ways of truth and right. If we listen to Him. If we listen. Amen. Someone else. Bless you, Dana.
Brought back some memories. I like to go back on memories, keep me going a lot of times.
Yeah.
Back at the church at Brendan, Charlie, and Sharon and me come up in, it wasn't nothing to have three or four handshakes. Two was just the start. Not every service, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You somebody just say you have a handshake, it just all lead into things. And talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I can recognize it, though, when it's under
the Lord. Amen.
I'm glad the Lord gave me that.
Yes.
You mentioned this morning, Charlie, in your teaching, when you was teaching the class, that back when we used to go back on the hill up the Grapevine and park beside the road and head back on the hill. And we went by several flat spots, but there was one spot we found. We had to go a ways to get to it. We all felt that was the spot when we got to it. And that's where we went, and I remember one man in particular, Emory Young. He got back there. We didn't have no piano, guitars, or nothing back there, but none of us could sing very good, but we all tried to sing that prayer. And he just jerked his shoes off and said, I feel like I'm on holy ground.
Amen.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah,
it was good memories.
Amen.
It keeps me going, and I appreciate the Lord. He's been good to me. I don't have a thing in the world to complain about. I'm thankful for what He's done for me. But Brandon, I'm glad you brought that to my attention. It just made me think back. And, you know, we got heaven to look forward to.
That's right.
Amen.
We do. We Amen. Got heaven to look forward to. Yeah. This world at times can bring you, things can bring you a little joy, but they don't last long.
Temporary.
They'll go, then right behind there will be something that will just tear your heart out. And that's what we're dealing with. But we're heading for a country that's going to be gone. We don't have to worry about that no more.
Amen.
Went to a funeral this week. It was kind of sad in a way. No, they may have been, I'm going to say 20 people, but I don't know if there was that many or not. But we went, we went for hometown of one of the kids. It was her dad, and we went to kind of be a backup to her. But anyway, that's a sad thing. But when you leave this world, and I thought as they got the preacher to do the service, I liked what he said. They told him to keep everything short. And that was the shortest funeral I was ever in. It may have lasted 10 minutes, or it may have went 15, I doubt it. But he said, I don't get up here, and I don't preach nobody in and nobody out. They did that to Seth. I'm just telling you, we're all facing this.
Yeah.
So be ready for it. So, that's about all you can do.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I've ever won it. Y'all pray for me. I'd be the one you'd have me to be, and I'll pray to you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, Donnie.
Bless you, Donnie. Bless you, Donnie.
Christian. And he's talking about memories. I remember when I was just a little kid how my dad would always and mom take us to church. And when I got older in life, just, quit going. And one morning, as you said, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and convicted our heart. And we had a gentleman just like Daniel was talking about where we lived when we was a kid. I can remember him in the evenings, be a cool evening, and you could hear him way back on top of the hill.
Yeah.
And we lived down in the valley, and you could hear him pray. And that always touched me, even when I was out in the world. I could still hear that man.
Right.
Pray. don't realize they're leaving an influence on someone else.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Most of all, I'm glad that my parents brought me up in a Christian home.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sounds good.
Been a good place to be.
Yeah, the past two weeks
really I really realized how much Satan really does work to get us down. I mean, he does everything he can, every little moment to try to get us down. Starting out about 2 weeks ago, I just replaced my car motor about this past fall. It went out, and it shouldn't have went out, but anyways, went through four, had to get it replaced, paid for half of it. And that was just this past fall. It only put about $10,000 on it. Beginning of the week, 2 weeks ago, the car started up making a horrible sound. I thought, man, I just replaced this motor. I don't want to have to do this again. And I was just pretty annoyed about it because I just replaced it. And so I took it in there, and you know they were busy, so it takes them a week to figure out what's going on with it. And in the meantime, I get poison ivy all over me, and you know it's just. I go to the doctor for that, and they gave me some steroids and stuff to try to take care of it, and then they didn't give me enough steroids, so by the time I get off the steroids, it all comes back again, and it's even worse this week than it was before, and everything was just getting to me. I was just getting annoyed by everything, and then the call tell me it wasn't the motor, which the motor had a warranty on it, so I was hoping it was the motor, so they would fix it for me. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, it's not the motor, something else, and I got to pay for that. And then, you know, I was working some long hours this week, 10, 12, 13 hours every day, and it's just, you know, just annoyed by that also, and then thinking I've got to put all that money I just worked hard for, trying to save up, because I won't be able to work in PA school for the next 2 years. So I'm trying to save up a little bit, thinking I got to put all that into a motor now, or whatever's going on with it, and I was just pretty annoyed by everything. And I was, you know, complaining about it, and God just kind of opened my eyes for a second and told me, and kind of made me realize what I was saying, that I was complaining that I had a job that had money to pay for what was going on. And I thought, you know, I have the right to be upset about it, but I should be thankful that I can pay for what's going on, even though it is going on. You know, and I should be thankful that I had to go back to the doctor today, get more medicine for this poison ivy because they didn't do it right the first time. I could complain about that, but I should be thankful that I'm still on parents' insurance that I can go do that and allow that to happen. And I don't know, just remember me in your prayers. You know, all this stuff's going on, and just Satan's definitely attacking me. I don't know why, but you know, I am thankful that the Lord, even when things go on, that He provides things. Provides ways for us to get out of it and get through it. Amen. As long as we just trust in Him. I'm just thankful for that tonight.
Bless His heart. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. He'll bring things back to you.
Bless you, Kim.
Bless you, Kim. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I missed y'all when I was going. I know I missed a good one. The team texted me right off my back. But I told him that I was praying.
Yeah.
I prayed for
him.
Yeah. Bless you. You'll all have a good one. Yeah.
Amen.
Here or not. Because I don't want to, you know, and I've never got a text, boy, you missed a bad one.
Yeah.
Good thing you wasn't here because it was a bad one. I never got one of them.
Yeah.
And don't send anyone. I don't want to hear about it. But Trent was probably just reminded me of something. On our way home from vacation, traffic was crazy, and most of the other people out there were too. I was getting a little aggravated, and I always tell everybody that, you know, if I'm stuck in traffic or something's going on and somebody cuts me off, maybe they was in a hurry for some reason. Maybe they had to go to the doctor. Maybe they had to pick their kids up. I always try to think the best of it, not that they was just being a jerk or whatever. And I wasn't thinking nothing about none of that. I was getting aggravated, and Nita told me, said, you're getting road rage. And I wasn't doing nothing. I was just complaining about the other driver. But he brought it back to me that I had said that before about not complaining about it. Just go with the flow, whatever's going on. And Brian, it just brought it back to me. Brian told me the other day that Ron was stuck in traffic and was complaining and getting mad. And he remembered what I said about, okay, we got to keep him from something.
Yeah.
He said he just sat back and enjoyed. track.
Amen.
But the Lord brought this back to me and said, hey, yeah, you know what? You told them, and they remembered what you said, so you didn't remember what you said.
Amen.
So I just slowed down a little bit and let them go. Whatever they wanted to do, as long as the Lord was, he was keeping me away from all the wrecks and everything, I just appreciate him watching over us while we was going. So, but like I say, that's one thing, that, like Trent was talking about, I said, you know, he's going to supply you with everything you need.
Sure. Very good.
Yeah, everybody come home from the beach with a souvenir. I got eardrops and a box. Spread out on the beach. So that's what I come home with. I had squirrels here. But you know what? I had any squirrels that I could give to the doctor and get took care of. It didn't do nothing to my vacation. So everything was good. I didn't complain about it. I just went right on. So I just want to thank the Lord for everything he does for me. I'm glad I was here tonight.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, anyone else? Got a song, Randy. Al's got one. What is it?
Had a horse show up here at Elk River Boots and Saddle Club. Right off on Blue Creek there. Young lady, I don't know, maybe 20 or so. She had to work yesterday, part of it. And I think she was kind of hoping they'd let her off sooner so she could get there for her first class, but they didn't do it. It didn't happen. But when she got there, her mom, she was all frustrated. She was being out of shape and all that, trying to get her saddle and bridle and the number hooked on. And the announcer was waiting on her. You know, why get in a hurry? You know, she's trying, but see, she had to work over. They wouldn't let her go. And she said, why did you not let me off sooner? I said, honey, let me tell you something. They could have saved you a life. You could have been in a car wreck coming up here, hauling that horse up here.
Yeah.
And I said, now try to think positive. You know, I get me out of shape sometimes, and I try to encourage these youngins. And I said, just take your time. And she's calmed down a little bit, and her mom and other friend was there. And she went in, but she didn't have time to warm her horse up, right? Well, she didn't have had a pretty good time, but not a winning time. You know how kids are. I used to be like that. If I didn't win, that's the end of the world. And that's why I got hurt a long time. I went 110%. Trying to do my best. But anyway, finally, during the later on, she had other classes. And I'd ask her every time I see her, are you doing better? Yeah. Doing better? I said, your horse warmed up? Yeah, got it warmed up now. Things like that. I'm not a horse person, but I'm just there for them kids. Trying to get that place back in there from the flood, you know. It still ain't there, but boy, it looked good yesterday, grounds and all. But that's an example of what God can do. And I know she listened to me because, you know, you could tell. And when the preacher tore it up, I just said, think positive. What you're doing, keep your mind on what you're doing. Don't worry about work. Nothing you can do about that. You know, again, you get too big a hurry, something's going to happen. I've done that. Yeah. Done that, you know, several times. And you wonder, how come that happened? I was careful. You get in a hurry.
Yeah.
And it happens every time. Everybody's experienced it, I'm sure. But anyway, remember all those kids. They just had a time up there yesterday. It was hot, and the horses did pretty good, but no one was hurt, nobody fainted, no horses went down, or nothing like that. But I'm just there for the kids. My daughter, she don't ride up there anymore. She goes to Jackson County once in a while, but one lady in here, your daughter rides, they ride up there. You know, she knows what I'm talking about. And who else rides? They know what I'm talking about. But it's just so good that God, you can see the look on her face. And two of the older women come up to me and want to know why I try to be so positive and everything. I said, that's what the Lord put in my heart. I'm not up here to rap and rave and cause a scene. And they said, well, said, you really got it. Because you I don't think I do, but evidently I do.
Yeah.
I forget the words, but you ought to hear what they said to me. And you know, I got teared up.
Bless
because
you.
They can see what God did for me.
Yeah. Bless you, Jim.
And you know how I'm getting better, what I've been through. They can see all that. And they ask, how do you do this and talk to people the way you do? I said, well, that's what he told me to do. But anyway, I give God all the credit and the glory. Because he reached down with that unseen hand one day, and I take you right to the place. Time and everything. That's why I'm here. 40 plus years, April 16th, 40 years. Now, I may look older, but that's all. I'm just 40. But I tell you what, I can feel it here. You know, God takes care of you. He put all these parts in here, and then they say, well, don't do this, it'll do this, it'll make heart attack, smoke, drink, whatever. I never done none of that, but some of these parts is falling out. Mm-hmm. And it's, but see what he did? I'll tell you.
Bless you.
Like Brother Rob, you know, had that kidney out just like that. See, I didn't even have to have a treatment. All kidney cancer, prostate cancer, and skin cancer. I didn't have to have a treatment and all that. I probably shouldn't even be here, but he left me here for a reason.
Amen.
Right.
It may be see them youngers get back in here.
Yeah, bless you.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anyway, y'all remember it, all those other youngers out there, all they think about is horse. My daughter, she eats, drinks, lives, and sleeps horse and animals. I mean, that's good. That's what she wants, make her happy. But she said, Dad, my animals will eat before I do. I said, you don't realize you're depriving yourself of living. But now she's spending more time with the little one because we wasn't able to keep him while she worked. So remember her. She had to keep the little one. He's 5 now. So remember her prayer that, and she's a survivor. We don't know how she does it. Maybe some of you folks have young ones that just keep on keeping on. But I'm thankful. As far as I know, none of my young ones drank, smoked, chewed, or whatever. But we all got issues. But keep your prayers coming. And
amen.
I didn't mean to take a comment. Hey, he said, mind the Holy Spirit. Make a joyful noise.
Bless you.
And by golly, I'm able now to do that some point more than before.
Amen.
Amen.
And like I said before,
yep.
I had to get out of the house. I'm going crazy in that house. I'm outside first.
Yeah.
She called me backwoodsy. I said, that's okay. That's all right. That's the way I'm raised. But anyway, God gets all the glory.
Yeah. Amen.
And he is the reason I'm here. He's the reason all of us here. And like, what's his name? Steve. He'll be with you. It'll be all right. Timmy knows. You know, everybody, you know, it had to go. It's going to be all right. One way or the other, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Because we've read the back of the book, and we're winners.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right.
Y'all remember, keep going in prayer.
Amen. Did you figure out what Al wanted song?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change. You're down in the valley don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
All hearts free.
Praise the Lord all through it all. Lord, you know, when things get so bad that you think you can't take it, just stop and praise the Lord. Praise Him for what He's done for us. I can think of so many things that the Lord has brought me through. And I got laid off at Carbide years ago. Went up to the employment office to sign up, and the lady looks at me and said, "You're quite better. Why don't you go down to Boilermaker Hall and sign up for an apprentice application? I know they're taking an apprentice." So I didn't even know there was a Boilermaker Union.
Yeah.
You know, I had a Boilermaker shop at the plant, but I didn't know they had a Boilermaker Union like Pipefitters and Ironworkers. So I went down, and sure enough, they signed me up, started asking me questions about how what work I've done, said how high you work. I said, "Height-wise, you mean like on grading where you're looking down?" Or he said, "Oh, no, walking on grading platform on concrete." He said, "How high have you worked?" Worked out a man basket on a crane, on a steel column, about 90 feet. He said, "My goodness," he said, "anything over 50 foot key." He read that on the application. And then he cased me in and introduced me to the business agent. And I didn't know it at the time, but the business agent was Diane Kidd's father, Deborah Boss. And we talked about where I live and where it's from. But anyway, I didn't know it was Diane Kidd's dad. But anyway, the Lord blessed me with, I took the test. I made the highest score on the test. I was the first one to send out to work. They only took 10. That's how the Lord blessed me with the layoff. And when my unemployment, vacation pay and everything ran out, that when I got laid off, the Lord sent me to work. And I just thank the Lord for that. Now, first of all, I was trying to handle it myself. And I was trying to find a job myself. And Joe Stover and I went to Pascagoula, Mississippi. We were going to go to work for a shipyard. We didn't know what we were getting into. And I just think the Lord just turned us right around, sent us right back. I called on, he failed the physical of the new kid. And he had one kid he was missing. And anyway, I called home to tell Brenda there wasn't going to be both families down there. And it was just going to be us. And she said, well, I got your apprenticeship application here for you. Take a physical. And I knew as soon as I took that physical and said, got the paperwork in, then we'll send it out. And 17 hours later, I was sitting in the driveway at Gold Town. But anyway, the Lord sent me out to Harrison Power Station in Shinji and making more money than I knew what to do with. And so the Lord bless you. And when you trust in Him, give Him what He is, and the Lord will bless the rest. That's the thing. Is you give the Lord His, and the Lord will bless the rest. So I thank the Lord for that. And Jim, just hang in there, buddy. Things going to be all right. I know they are.
Yeah.
You pray for me. Brenda Gale, she really felt good today. Felt good coming to church and singing in the choir.
Yeah, amen.
And it was good to see her down there in front of me. So you pray for her. She wasn't able to make it out tonight. It was just too much stress on her mind. So you pray that it's going to be a slow healing process, but I think the Lord's got it under control.
Yeah.
It's all in His control.
Amen. Yeah.
We just need to trust in Him. So you pray for me.
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't say
anything
when the moment
said. Bless you, Trent. I'll stand up again.
Bless you,
Trent. Bless you. Even in this past week, I was thankful that I did have my sister's car to drive because even my mom's car was in the shop. And then, like I said, we're working some long hours. And then this past Friday, I got off somewhat early around 3 o'clock and I was, thanking the Lord. I said, thank you for allowing me to get off early today. Enjoy the evening, take some time to relax, and then get halfway home and brake caliper get stuck on her car, and I got to stop and take care of that. And I tell you, the devil was just doing every little thing he could. And but then again, had to be thankful again. It was an easy fix. Me and Dad got it home, fixed it in the garage. Took no time at all. And I'm thankful that the Lord just provides every opportunity for us. And the devil hates whenever we give the Lord any type of praise or credit at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there thanking the Lord for getting off early that day, and the devil said, "Nope, we can't let that happen." And he's like, "We're going to cause some trouble." But it ended up turning out all right. We had a good VBS there on Friday night with a lot of the teens, and I'm just thankful that even though the devil does everything he can, we can still give the Lord the praise, and the Lord, as long as we give the Lord the praise, He's going to come through for us every time. Just thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. But another scripture says, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That's who we need to depend on. Brother Jim, you ready?
Good evening. I was thinking of a song while I was sitting down there, and I couldn't think of the name of it. What's the song of, I don't know, or I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. What's the name of that song? It's not in our hymn book. What is it? I know who holds my hand. Well, that makes sense. I looked in the hymn book. I couldn't find it, but that song, just, going through the testimonies and with the sermon tonight, it kind of goes hand in hand, but it says many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, and that's comforting to know that a lot of times we can't see what's ahead, or honestly, we see what's ahead, but it looks a lot worse than what it is, and so we're going to see that in 2 Kings tonight. I'm going to go ahead to a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight, Father, Lord. We're just thankful, Lord, for all those that that are here and, Lord, that are partaking, Father, Lord, in this service, Father, Lord, that we're just thankful, Lord, for all the things that you've given us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that aren't here tonight, Father. We pray, Lord, for all those prayer requests that we have. And Lord, we just know that that there are things, Lord, that are going on in this world, Father, Lord, that you have the answer for. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that people would have the hunger to hear it, Lord, the desire, Lord, to be in your house, Father, Lord, and to hear your words and to worship with your people, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, for that desire, Lord, to come down, Father, among us, that our house would be full, Father, Lord, that we would seek to honor you, Father, Lord, and seek to hear your word, Father. But, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless, Father, as you always do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, it says, in verse 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And so what you have is you have a situation. You know, this happens in our life when everything is seems to be going okay. And then a situation arises where it seems like a hopeless situation. And if there was ever a hopeless situation, this would be it. Her husband has died. He was faithful to the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him her two sons that were to be his servants, basically. She didn't have anything left. And so she was turning to Elisha, this man of God. And we're familiar with the story, but we'll go ahead and read it. It says, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Isn't that just such a good story? For God to give us such a good story that we can read in our Bibles, you know, that we have to look forward to, and or that we have to read and to look to, and just see how God works, how, you know, when a situation arises, when something comes up in our life, we're always looking ahead, whether you realize it or not. We're always making plans. We're always thinking about tomorrow. I know that all of us in here have plans that in your mind, maybe it's not written down or anything, but in your mind you have plans about the next few days or the coming month or what's coming along down through the year or something like that. But we all have these plans in our minds, and something sometimes comes along that is unforeseen. In this instance, it's the death of her husband, because I'm sure in her mind, you know, she had planned many more years in that situation, and so something came up, this terrible event, the death of her husband, and so she is suddenly in a situation where she doesn't have much place to turn. She doesn't have many options, to go to, and so, you know how it is. We exhaust our options. We go here. We go maybe to this person. Maybe she went to a neighbor, or maybe she went to a family member, or maybe someone helped her out for a little while, but they just couldn't, you know, keep up with what was going on. But she went to the man of God, and Elisha. She knew he was a prophet. She knew he was a man of God, and she went to him. And so, basically, since he was a man of God, it was like she was taking it to God himself. And so, she did this. And he looked at what she had, and she had this pot of oil. I think it's what it referred to. Pot of oil. Yes. Save a pot of oil. And so in that situation, a lot of times we're thinking with when we have limited resources, you know, how are we going to divide that oil? Or how are we going to partition it? How are we going to do with what's there? What do we have in front of us? We always try to work with the situation. And so in my mind, I would be thinking, you know, I've got to save a little bit of this. Or I've got to, you know, I've only got one pot of oil left. And I've got to divide that wisely to get the most out of it. But whenever, you know, a situation arises and we try to make something out of it, where the world says to divide, God says, I will multiply. And so when a situation arises that says we've got to make the best out of what we've got, if we turn it to God, if we give it to God, He'll take it and He says, why work with what we've got when I can make it better? Why just divide what you have when I can multiply what you need? Why just work within your means when you have a God that can provide the needs that you have, and He can provide it abundantly? And so, you know, what a blessing that was. The man of God, relying on God's, you know, God's moving, relying on what God would have him to do, he told her to go and borrow all these empty vessels. And so, can you imagine what's going through her mind as Elisha tells her, go to your neighbors and borrow empty vessels? I'd be thinking, okay, what do I tell them? You know, I'm going to go to my neighbors, and what do I tell them if they say, what are these for? You know, I guess you would just say, I don't know. You know, the prophet just told me. And so, you know, go and borrow these empty vessels and bring them home and start filling them up. And just start filling them up. And close the door and go in there with your sons and just start filling them up. And lo and behold, as she filled them up, you know, she got to the last one and she said, you know, bring me another vessel. And they said, there are no more. They had already filled up all of their vessels. What a blessing that is to serve a God that cares that much about us, that cares that much about a widowed woman that was there, that had served, that was faithful to God. He cares so much for her that he sees her need and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. Not only did he give her what she needed to save her sons, he kept the sons from being servants. But what did it say at the end? It said, sell off everything, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Not only did he provide the need, but he went beyond what they needed. Isn't that the God we serve? Isn't that the God that you recognize? Judy talked about, you know, the Holy Spirit. And we know and we can testify to what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. And we can say, we can see that the God who did this thing has done things in our life where it seemed like things were hopeless, where it seemed like things were dire, things were, you know, were scary. Brings to mind the Psalm 56, verse 3. It says, what time I am afraid, then I will trust the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. And He is faithful. He is faithful to our needs. He is faithful to give us the things that we need. Next, I want to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And it says, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And a Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come up unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The same type of story as what we read before. You know, God provided again. And so we have the people, the multitude, that were hungry, not just for, you know, not physically hungry, but they were hungry to hear what he had to say. They were hungry for the word of God. They were looking for someone who could meet their needs. They were looking for someone who could heal them of their ailments. They were looking for what Jesus had to provide. And so they had found it. And he was there, and he was teaching them. And he was you know, preaching, and he was healing all of these people. And there was a situation that arose. The situation was that they were out in the desert, and that they were hungry. And so they had something to work with, just like the lady, just like the widow had the pot of oil. They had a little bit of food to work with. And so in your mind, you're thinking, how do you take what's there and split it up to feed all these people? And so what Jesus does is he doesn't take what's there and divide it up or split it up. He takes what's there and he multiplies it. And he provides and he gives us what we need. And so aren't you glad? I'm so glad that we serve a God that doesn't work with whatever we have, that doesn't take a situation and says, well, we'll just make the best out of it. But he takes the situation and he says, I'm going to provide everything that you need that you don't even see coming. You know, as you think about that situation, if you put yourselves in their shoes, you can imagine what was going through their mind, how they could feed these people, okay? They even said, we'll go to town and we'll take some money. We need to take some money and we need to buy some food. So that was their answer, was to go and to buy. But Jesus came out of nowhere and he just said, I'm going to do this. And he did this and he provided for them in a way that they weren't even looking for. And so what I'm trying to get at is, as situations arise in our lives, as things pop up in our minds, and we look at what we have to work with and we say, man, if God could just work this little bit out. But we're limiting God in his capacity. We're looking at 2 fish and 5 loaves and we're saying, if God could just spread this food out to where it will go to us. And we don't even imagine that God is going to do something that is far greater than we could ever imagine. And so a lot of times we limit ourselves because we limit God. If they hadn't have gone to Jesus, if the disciples had taken matters into their own hand and say, hey, you know, it's starting to get late. I know I'm getting hungry, and I'm sure that all these other people are getting hungry. There's still people that need to be healed. There's still people that have needs that need to be met. And so I'm going to go to town, and I'm going to buy some food, and then we'll bring it back. If they had done that, then they wouldn't have been able to feed all of those people. But because they went to Christ and they went to him and said, we need to do something, then he was able to make a way that was far beyond what they could even imagine. And so don't you just love that extra part at the end where he says, you know, gather up what's left, and there's 12 baskets. That's not just, you know, that's not just part of a random story. That's not just a coincidental throwaway part of the story that, oh, by the way, there was some left over. That was purposeful for us to know that when God provides, he provides more than what we need, and that we have a source that is beyond anything that we can imagine. It wasn't a coincidence that with the oil, they didn't have enough just to cover their debt. That would have been sufficient to cover their debt. God would have been faithful to her needs if he had just provided enough oil to pay her debt and to get her out of the situation that she was in. But God, in his love for us, he says, I'm going to take care of you plus whatever, you know, I'm going to take care of you with what you need and go beyond what you need. And so with these people, he said, watch this. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to give you beyond what you need, just so you don't forget that I am the God that created all of this, that I'm the one who is able to do these things. I don't want you to forget it. I'm sure that they never forgot. I'm sure that the lad that was there, you know, he was doing more than feeding people. He was giving them hope. He was doing more than physically feeding them. Yes, he satisfied their hunger for a little while. But what he did to their spirit in that moment satisfied them for a lifetime. Satisfied. You can imagine a young boy as an older man, as you know, in his older years, in his latter years, thinking about, you know what, I saw Jesus do one time. I brought him some food and he fed 5,000 people. And so can you imagine how that impacted those people to see that this man could really do anything? He could supply their needs. And it was beyond anything that they could ask for. And so we have situations that come up in our lives, and we've heard about several of them tonight. And we think about how we feel in those situations, but whether we want to believe it or not, in our minds, we picture how things might work out. And we say, well, this could work out. Or, you know, I know that I put my trust in the Lord and that this could come out. But a lot of times what happens is something that we don't even expect to happen works out. And it comes along and He provides our need. You know, I was just thinking about you, Eddie. I was thinking about a couple years ago when you were on that cane. You were coming in and you lost all that weight. And there was something going on in your body that was just, you know, and it was just unexplainable. And it seemed like a situation where it was like, it was hard to see that you'd be sitting right there like you are today. It was hard to see that. We put our trust in God, and, you know, we know that God is able, but it's hard to see that Eddie would just be back to being Eddie and being back to his full, you know. And God blesses like that. And He gives us things that when we go to Him with a need, when we go to Him with a situation, He is able to provide that need. And I thought about the disciples. I thought about the disciples as you know, they huddled in the rooms after Christ was crucified. And they huddled in their rooms and they had to hide because they were afraid of what would happen to them. The same thing that happened to Him. And what they wanted more than anything was for Him to be alive. What they wanted more than anything, what they pictured in their mind, was for Him to be alive. And what they got through His resurrection was beyond what they could ever imagine. The things that they witnessed afterward, the things that we read about in Acts and that we read about in the rest of the books of the Bible, they never imagined that could ever take place. Maybe what at the most they thought, well, you know, we'll recover and we'll still teach what God showed us while He was alive. We'll still teach what Jesus did when He was alive. We'll still go and spread the word. They could not imagine what God had in store for them as they huddled in that room and thought about their next steps. As Peter said to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. They couldn't imagine what untold things were there. And so God provided in such a way that it was beyond what they could even imagine. And I know that He still does that for us today. I know that if we just put our trust in Him and lean not, as the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, because it's not going to go that way. But if we put our trust in Him, then He will provide like nobody else can provide. I thought about that lady and that widow and how how amazing that would be just to keep filling those pots and to say, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that it's good. I don't understand what is going on. Like, I can't even explain it, but I know that God is in it and it's so good. And God is so good. And, you know, I thought about the woman at the well. And how she had gone to the well and how Jesus met her there. And she was astounded that He would even talk to her because she was a Samaritan. And she said, what have you to do with, with me because I'm a Samaritan. And as they talked, and as he asked her to draw some water, and she said, there's nothing to draw with. And he told her about the living water. And he told her about if she would have this water, that she would never thirst again. And what he was offering her. And you know, she still didn't understand because she said, give me some of this water so that I won't have to come back to this well. She still thought that it was physical water. But as he presented himself to her, and as he gave her that answer, as he offered her what she could have to have eternal life, what he was saying is that he has the power, he has the spirit that she could have it and she would never thirst again. She would never need again. She would never have that need in her life once she got the spirit that he had to offer her, once she got the salvation that he had to offer her. And it is a well that comes forth and it never goes dry. And so we as Christians, we understand what he was saying because we feel that in our lives. We feel and we have witnessed God providing things that are over and beyond our wildest dreams and over and beyond what we could ever imagine. Think about heaven and how he has provided beyond what we need in heaven and how we have that to look forward to. You know, David said that my cup runneth over. And we can identify with that because he blesses us so much with what we need beyond what we need. And it just keeps coming. And so that living water that he spoke about, that living water, she could have access to that. You know, she was coming there for a physical need, but he was offering her a spiritual need. She was coming there for a temporary thing, and he was offering her a permanent thing. And he was offering her a source of something. And he is the source. And so whatever situation that we are in, God is there. Jesus is there. He won't just provide what we need, but he goes above and beyond what we need. And his resources are limitless. They're limitless. I thought about it as in an equation. How do you take 2 fish and 5 loaves and turn it into that much food? You know, you can't do it by mathematical equations. You can't do it. But when you add Jesus into the equation, it changes everything. And so in our lives, if something seems impossible and we add Jesus into the equation, then anything is possible. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we can do all things through Christ. And so when we talk about what things are going to happen and how things are going to happen, if we just put him in there, if we plug him in, if we go to him, then, you know, anything can happen. And so we have things, we have needs in this church. We have people who are facing things, they're facing uncertainty. Just thinking about Phyllis and the scariness, how scary it is. And thinking about that situation. And if we go to that in prayer, if we go and if we seek his face, if we seek him, it's hard to picture how things turn out. But he has something there for us. And you know what he has ultimately for us? The song goes, I'm a winner either way. You know what I mean? That is there for us. We have that. We have that paradise that is there that we can all look forward to. And we have that, you know, thought about the Israelites as they left Egypt and they thought, well, how in the world, what is going to happen? How are we going to get there? They were picturing what it might be like. But he had a promised land waiting for them. And as they went along and he provided, and they never imagined that their food would come from heaven. They never imagined that God would provide them with that manna every day. They didn't imagine that their water would come from a rock. They didn't imagine that they would go through an ocean. They didn't, or you know, the sea. They didn't imagine all of these things. And yet, because God was there working, all of these things were possible. And so he goes beyond our vision. And so we can't just put faith in our vision of how things are going to turn out. We have to put faith in him and know that he is going to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He's done it so many times. He's done it so many times. I was at a reunion, a family reunion last night, or yesterday. And our family got together. And just several months ago, my cousin had a pig valve that was in his heart because he had a bicuspid aortic valve. And several months ago, that failed. And I'll be honest, I mean, I was praying for him and I was trusting, but I couldn't see how that was going to work out. And so, you know, I sent him that text about what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And yesterday, I mean, he was there. It didn't seem like anything was wrong. And, you know, you almost forget about that several months ago, he almost wasn't here. It's almost like God shows up in such a way that you forget about all of those times that you were scared to death. And you forget about, hey, this person used to be in this situation. And hey, I used to be in this situation. And you forget about it because God has come through. I think about Tim and Vicky and that situation and how scary and how it's hard to imagine that many years later that they would be just thriving. You know what I mean? That's a blessing. And I'm sure that it was hard to see at the time. I'm sure it was hard to see. But man, God is good. God is good. He is good to us. And, you know, the woman at the well, it said that many Samaritans were saved because of her report of Christ. Because of what she told them of this man who told me my life and told me that he could offer me living water. Many people were saved because of that testimony and what he had done. So he had not only supplied, she thought, a physical need, but he was supplying spiritual needs. And the same with the feeding of the 5,000. He was supplying a spiritual need and showing them that I am the Christ and I am the one. And so he provides all of these things, physical, spiritual. And so why do we still doubt? And so it's just, you know, it's us. It's us. But if we put our trust in him, he is more than worthy to meet our needs. And we thank him for that. We thank him for that. As we get a song of invitation, maybe you've got a situation that looks hopeless right now. Maybe you've got a situation where you're not sure how it's going to turn out. Maybe you're left with just a little pot of oil and you're like, you know, I've done everything I can do and this is all I have left. And, you know, what is going to happen with this pot of oil? Maybe you're down to two fishes and five loaves and you're saying, this is what I'm down to. This is what, you know, this is what I have left. And then you turn and you say, well, who's with me? Well, God is with me. Jesus is there. God is there. And that we remember that when we put our trust in him, he is faithful to us. He blesses us. I know there's people that we pray for to get saved. Sometimes it's hard to see that it's going to happen. But we're praying. We're praying for them. God knows our heart. He knows what these people mean to us. He knows what it is. And he's got a way that things are going to happen that's hard for us to imagine. But they do. And he makes a way when there doesn't seem like there's a way. Jim, I know you got a heavy burden for your kids. Keep praying and trust in the Lord. And it works not even the way that you picture it. Not even the way that you can picture it. It's the way that he provides. Aren't you glad that he doesn't just Aren't you glad that he takes and he multiplies what we need, and he gives us more than what we need in abundance? And I was thinking about this. This is what got me started to thinking about the whole thing. As a Christian, you know, we're called to love. As a Christian, we're called to not be afraid. As a Christian, we're called to have peace in our life, and we do. But he multiplies those things in our life. He will multiply the love that you feel for people. He will multiply the peace that you can have in your life. He'll take what you have and he'll multiply it. If you're worried a lot, he'll take that spirit that you know, calls us not to worry, and he'll multiply that. And so he takes what we have and he multiplies it, and he gives us what we need. He sustains us through all the problems that we have if we just call on him. As we get a song of invitation.
Page number 27.
Seek strength tonight. As you come to the altar, look towards the end.
Since you woke with the dawn,